Welcome to The Ramblers with Dave Ramsey. A cornucopia of bespoke current events, jokes infused with travel tidbits. Storyteller, rambler, actor, writer, filmmaker. Big deal heartbreaker. Big in China, medium size in America. Growing up in Asia, Ni Hao Ma, Warsher Nita Lausher, and diatribes regarding the military-industrial complex and how the fatter the president, the worse off the country most likely is. This is not a safe place for you ramblers, Hippocratic, Democratic, Republican, Libertarian, or otherwise. We do, however, welcome the uninformed and the misguided. This is a safe place for you. Let's ramble.
You mean the Domino's guy? The guy who does the Domino's?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's got a great voice. Hey, it's Dave Ramsey of the Ramblers. And I'm here today by myself. Just kidding. Someone's here this time. And we're going to talk about today about the situation, obviously, that everyone's at home wondering what to do with themselves, listening to my podcast a lot, hopefully. And restaurants are closed pretty much all over the country. So I have a restaurateur. Would you call yourself a restaurateur? Introduce yourself for one.
Restaurateur, restaurant owner. Yeah. I mean, I think restaurateur was my dad. You know, he started it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he designed it, basically, and we still have the same concept going on.
And what's your name and the name of your restaurant?
I'm Guillermo Sanchez, and I own La Capulqueña Mexican Restaurant.
Man, I can't, I'm sorry, yeah. I'm bad at pronouncing things yeah. in general, but that one.
La Acapulqueña.
Yeah. Is that like Acapulco?
Right, it's a woman from Acapulco.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, look at the little mystique behind
you know,
that.
You know those Michoacana stores?
Yes.
It's like the same thing.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it's a woman from Michoacan.
Gotcha. That makes sense. I've known this guy for a while now. We bonded over our love, hate of certain movies and films. So we're going to give you a great list at the end of the podcast to go of movies to watch on Netflix because... You know, you spent some time at film school making some short films and financing some of my projects, hopefully, in the near future.
I sort of now, financed this project.
Yeah. That's true. This is your microphone, actually. That I got to do voiceover 2 years ago and then never did it. You know what the voiceover was for? Do you remember?
Oh, right. Some project from China.
Yeah, it was a educational cartoon. And it had all these crazy characters. It was so funny looking. And I was supposed to get people to do it, and it didn't really happen. So, we actually were just at the grocery store recently, Trader Joe's, and I don't know, what did you see that was missing the most, did you say? I didn't notice the toilet paper at all.
Yeah, your neighbor just asked us.
Yeah. I didn't notice toilet paper. I noticed, like, a lot of meat was missing, which I thought there would be, like, frozen chicken meat or, like, fresh meat, and that was all gone. Which is kind of mind-boggling to think about, like, because that means if you don't freeze it, you have to cook it right away.
Right.
So maybe everyone's just freezing.
They're freezing it.
But who in Dallas has, like, you know, out in the suburbs and out in the country, people have, what, big freezers sometimes.
They got a second freezer.
Exactly, in the garage or whatever. But in the city, people don't really have that, I would think. So I don't know what they're doing with all that meat. Anyway, it's kind of fascinating. And yeah, we felt a little guilty being at the grocery store, but you got to go shopping. Washed your hands and stayed away from people.
You should have just worn your mask.
I did wear my mask some, but you know, honestly, the mask helps if you're contagious, yes. But I think it actually keeps you from touching your mouth.
Yeah.
But if you're coughing or things are coming out, therein lies the danger. So who knows? We probably all have coronavirus.
We're probably already going to get sick, you know.
So I want to talk today about your restaurant and kind of the trials and tribulations. Because I don't think a lot of people know too much about what that entails and what that means, right? So you've made the decision to basically shut everything down right now. And Mitch, you might want to say that you kind of have a bar part of the restaurant. And you also have a taco on the weekends. You have a taco stand kind of thing.
That's yeah, we have like it. A window.
A taco window.
Yeah.
So what decision have you made as a to do with the restaurant at this point?
This point, we decided to close just temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we do have the option to do like curbside service or you know just pick up call and then pick up your order, but I decided to just shut down and then, like, really think about what we want to do.
Mm.
for one, I think I'm going to not let people in anymore.
Yeah.
So we may just...
Well, you can't, technically. But you're saying even to, like, well, pick up something. Yeah.
No, you know, we just actually came back from a coffee shop.
Yeah.
You know, you're still able to go in there.
Yeah, you can't sit down in all the chairs.
Right.
Inside or outside.
But did they say you can't use the restroom? Are they going to prevent you from doing that?
That's a good point, because I mean, people blow their nose in there, all sorts of manners.
Yeah, so that's
still
one thing.
You still don't even know how it's spread.
You know, if you let people in and they're going to want to use the restroom, I mean, I would just want to avoid that.
I got you. That makes total sense. And and as you know, we're talking about taking our shoes off and things like that.
Right.
In Asian culture, that's very common. We don't do that in the West that much or wherever. And then you go into some of these restrooms and it don't matter how clean it is. You step in one thing. Someone spits on the ground because people do that all the time. Or they accidentally spit on the ground or sneeze or whatever. That's going to be on that floor forever. You walk home, it's on your shoe. You walk around your house. I mean, not to be paranoid, but you got to think like that. You got to think like these are how these things spread. Obviously, this thing is highly contagious, so you have to make. So I think that's a wise decision on your part. Because, and again, like we were talking before, you don't want to be like the epicenter of, you know, all of a sudden the news crew, oh, there's like five of your employees were sick because you were letting them open and stay at work. You know? But then you got to have that balance of, I mean, speak to this about what you think about them getting paid or like financially, what's going to happen with them and you.
Yes, this is like really scary at the moment.
I mean,
I could barely sleep last night thinking about what this weekend's going to look like.
Yeah, because...
The following week.
I mean, I don't know how you want to... you don't have to go into the numbers, but kind of talk generally. Like, obviously, a lot of restaurants operate on a quarterly, monthly, sometimes weekendly basis, right?
Basically.
If you have one bad weekend, that could screw you for the whole month, quarter, year, right?
Yes.
So I'm thinking you're probably in that similar boat as a lot of people are. And then, you know, how are these people depend on this money?
Yeah.
And, you know, your taco business does really well in the weekend,
right? It
does
well, but there was certainly a dip.
Yeah.
Just this past weekend.
And that's before things were closed officially,
right? That's
before
it was like, you know, this is after people started, you know, going to the grocery stores and stocking up.
Yeah.
And
already, but before the restaurant
bars
closed.
Yeah, before the city of Dallas on Monday announced, you know.
Well, you were telling me over the weekend you were personally not going out.
Yeah, I was already taking that precaution.
You were already, like, staying out of it.
And I did not go anywhere.
And you think about, like, a restaurant owner,
I know,
an employee, you touch so much stuff, and you're talking about the money and everything.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people still use cash. So you got to think about
that. That's what I said about bars and bartenders. They're not going to be...
I know, man.
They don't wash...
They don't have time to.
They really don't. And I've gotten used to that fact, but...
And yeah, alcohol only kills so much, right? I mean, yeah, I always wonder, it's like, what kind of... Because you go overseas, or maybe some like higher-end bars or like a hotel bar, they have more time because they're not making 50 billion drinks.
Right.
They might take a toothpick and like grab it. But at most bars and restaurants, they're just grabbing limes, right?
Most bars that we go to are...
Well, yeah. I don't know if you want to go into, like... Cause
what bars?
I just saw on Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David, last week. Of course, this was filmed probably months last year sometime. And he's all talking... He's all about hygiene and all this, right?
One character
squeezes a lime and puts it in.
Oh.
And he's like, you don't know where those limes have been. You don't know where those limes have been. And he's like, he squeezes his and throws it out. And he's like, you can't guarantee that they're going to clean those limes.
Yeah.
And I've heard that. I've heard like limes and lemons are some of the dirtiest things.
I've spent over a year since I haven't put a lime in my drink. Personally.
Really?
Yeah, I don't.
Hmm.
I'll squeeze a lime, but I'll just put it on the napkin.
Yeah. But what's crazy is, like, I understand that, and that's true, but also, you don't have to get into the cleanliness and how uptight of a old man Larry David is.
Right.
But at this end of the day, like, all restaurants, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes back there. Some of these kitchens are disgusting. So, like you said, some of the bars that we frequent with that have great food, the kitchens are, you know, it's less than... To be desired, shall
kitchen
we say.
Or the employees, you know.
Or the employees,
yeah.
I know. It's just funny how society, like, with something like this pandemic happens, it brings out like the craziness of like the world, like, because before we trust so much, really, we really do. We're like, what is happening in the back of the kitchen? We at a nice restaurant could be horrendous. No matter how clean and nice is in the front, could be crazy. Like, you don't know what's going on. You have this faith and this trust in the system and the people, but really, should you? Probably not.
Well, these are times where do you say? I mean, everything's just flipping over. I mean, you're seeing how the U.S. government itself has failed.
Yeah.
And preventing, you know, these people coming back from these other countries and stopping them and saying, hey, this is actually serious business. We had faith in the government that they were going to protect us, you know, that they, but...
And let's keep it, you and me both follow the news a lot.
Yeah.
And just, for people who don't really know, or don't, Italy is chaos, and people are in there getting younger people. They haven't decided if you're over 80. You're not going to be able to move. They won't put you in incubation and stuff.
Yes.
Or whatever. It's intubation. Yeah. They won't. They're just going to have to let you suffer and die, most likely, because they have.
Right.
And then, apparently, in France, even younger people are getting affected by it. And, you know, I talked on the podcast with Roger, like, over a month ago. But that was in the time where we were like, this thing will go away, blah, blah, blah. But that's when we thought, like, our government would be a little bit more preventative. And my parents flew back from Hong Kong. Now, Hong Kong is not a super hot spot. They flew back from Hong Kong a week ago, and in Seattle, which is a hot spot, and they didn't get their temperatures checked or ask any question.
Yeah. Yep.
And then a week later, now they've instituted these checks, or actually like 4 days later. But, and then it's just crazy to me that this could have been a slow, gradual, normal process if the government would have got involved earlier on this. Instead of like, okay, we're going to ban one flight. My understanding is, I have to check this again, but Taiwan has a few cases.
Right.
But they have no, maybe one death, but like 50 cases. There's like 20 million people. They live close to China. They, on January 1st, they stopped flights from Wuhan. And then any other flight from China, they go on the plane and they temperature check every single person and get their information. Then if they're a high risk or they were had a fever, they check up with them later. And then they quarantine them. I mean, it's amazing. Like 50 cases, that's just incredible. Hong Kong didn't have as many as either. What's interesting now is Hong Kong and China are restricting flights back from the States to Italy because now people are bringing it back to the country.
Yeah.
And I still, people are afraid to say this, but unfortunately the government has to lie because to stop hysteria. So the government told you masks are not safe. That's BS. They said, like, you touch your face more. The reason they said that is because they wanted healthcare workers to have the mask, right?
Mm-hmm.
But healthcare workers, they have to have the mask.
Right.
We don't need these high-end masks every day. But still, ultimately, if you're traveling, you should be wearing a mask. If you're not showing symptoms, you still could be contagious.
Right.
And if you should have a mask. It's so frowned upon society now to have a mask. But even at the grocery store, we saw some people with gloves.
Oh, yeah.
But no mask. I think it's almost kind of funnier. Because, like, with the glove, you still have to, like, take it off. Like one at a time, you might touch your arm. I don't know. So anyway, we're screwed. Everything's going to be fine. I think so the reason I said about the mask thing is obviously you should have a mask. They want to stop people from panic buying masks.
Mm-hmm.
Masks are great, but also they don't want to say like when it gets warmer, this will go away. But this has already been proven.
That it's not going to help.
It's proven that it's not proven. Nothing's proven. It's clear that in warmer environments, it doesn't work. It doesn't move as rapidly. So, like in Washington and New York, it's colder there. It's moving rapidly. In Texas and the South, it's not moving as quickly.
Mm-hmm.
There's not as many cases in the Southern Hemisphere right now. Now, part of that is travel restrictions, maybe. But a lot of it is, it's just not moving. So, fresh air and sunlight, I think, will help all those
issues,
too.
Well, it's
getting
colder in the Southern Hemisphere.
Well, not yet. I mean, it's getting there, maybe. I mean, it's still like summer in Australia, I think, technically. Or it's starting to get to be fall. So, yeah, that's what will happen. It'll migrate down there, probably. But hopefully we can nip it in the bud. Because, yeah, then it'll just keep the migration going back and forth cause with the colder temperatures. Because that's what happened with, like, SARS and all that, once it did warm up. This one, again, is a lot stronger and more contagious. But I think, hopefully, as much as I hate 90-degree weather, I think that might... curtail it some, possibly. We'll see. At the end of the day, we have to take as many precautions as possible. We should have done this a month ago, and we really didn't. So, what do you think going forward? There's been today in the news about bailouts. They don't want to use the term bailout.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to help out Boeing, the airlines, and the travel industry.
Right.
Then they're going to give like $50 billion to people in America. But your employees aren't making any money right now.
No.
And then you're not making any money. You're losing money. So what do you think? Would you try to get a loan or something or see what would happen with that? I mean, I don't know. Basically, like, money's got to come into the economy. I mean, think of everything's basically the only people making money are like grocery stores right now. Isn't that crazy?
And they're hiring.
Oh my god, that's totally true. It's the only, like, movie theaters are closed, bars, restaurants are closed. Every entertainment thing is closed, but also tons of other things.
Yeah,
yoga classes, gyms. So, I mean, we're in this all together.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing...
Not to forget, it's not just the, you know, food service industry you're talking about.
Yeah,
theaters.
Bartenders do whine the most on Facebook and social media.
And right now, yeah.
But they have quite the reason to, I would say. But yeah, we're in a situation now where... money has to get in the hands of the people, and you know, hashtag Yang Gang. Andrew Yang was right, and now they're even Mitt Romney's talking about giving $1,000 a month until this is completed, and that's a drop in the bucket, but it's better than nothing. You know, it's a start, and they need a blanket just give to everybody. There's no way they're gonna have to figure out like, oh, what income class are you? No, they have to get it out by like the end of this week. It's got to go to everybody as quickly as possible. What do you think about that?
What kind of criteria is there? Like,
there's no criteria.
You know, you could be making 100K a year. You could be making 30K.
They say, this is, economist said this. He's like, he called it helicopter money. Mm-hmm. Like, you just throw it out. He said you have to do that because to make those stipulations, like, okay, you're a millionaire, you don't need this. There's too many. It would just so much bureaucracy to make that happen. It has to be like every citizen gets $1,000. Hong Kong often has a surplus every few years. They give money back to their
But what are we going to use this money for?
To pay your bills. So
what bills are we talking about?
Your rent bills,
lease,
your mortgage. That's pretty much it. But yeah, still, I would assume people should, you know, probably pay their electric bill and stuff like that if they can.
What if it's not enough?
I don't know, man. There's no easy answer to all this.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And I just think, I do think we have to take precautions and try to think about it. Yeah, and, you know, I don't have a lot of money laying around. It's not like a lot of people have savings. It's, you know.
I got a, you know, state taxes that are almost due on the 20th. You know, each month I pay the state of Texas, you know.
Yeah.
Sales from the month prior, so.
You should look into that. Because
they
said their federal taxes are getting pushed back.
Yeah.
So... the April 15th deadline's pushed to July or something like that. So you should look into that. And, and you should like try to make a stink with other restaurateurs or whatever you call it, the service industry, that whatever that union or whatever that is, you know.
Yeah.
That's not a
bad
idea.
I think that's a good point. I think...
that would help you a lot,
though,
right?
There's going to be like a sort of... like, not a union per se, but like everybody getting together and like coming up with something.
Demanding it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? I just think you definitely have to start making those phone calls, though, probably.
Yeah.
I would start harassing people, because if everyone does it together, then it might happen. And that, you're right, that might help ease the pain in a number of areas and help it out here and there if you don't have to pay those state taxes. And I think they may have canceled some of them. I heard, or actually, there's a petition going around online. You can sign it, I think.
Okay.
That you can sign it to delay the sale, to cut off sales tax on alcohol or something. Something like that. Of course, that's not going to happen for right now, though, because no one's buying any alcohol. Like, a good friend, that beer and burger place,
right.
They said, like, they're doing the pickup thing. They're instituting that. But, yeah, you can't serve beer and drinks to people, though, can you?
No.
I don't know. Maybe the liquor laws are totally going to be changed because of this. For the better. Who knows? All right. Well, I hope that was good therapy for you.
Where's the tissue at?
I don't know, man. It's good to talk about this stuff, though. And that's another thing everyone needs to think about, like, you obviously need people to talk to about, and no matter what situation you're in, right?
This is going to affect everybody.
It is.
It already is, but immediately right now what's happening, you basically chopped an arm or two off of the restaurant business. I mean,
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
But stay tuned after the break. It's not really a break. This is brought to you by Spring City Films, as always. at Spring City Films on Instagram and at The Ramblers Cast. No, but we're going to talk about movies.
The name's Films.
Spring City Films.
Spring City Films.
www.springcityfilms.com. Do people still use websites? Really should stop paying.
I don't think they say www anymore.
It's actually not www. It's literally just Spring City Films. Action. Oh, man.
Sound.
Rolling. Microphones, neighbors, audio, studio. It's interesting. They're releasing Frozen 2, or what was the movie?
Yeah, they're releasing it early.
You can download it, stream it, because you're not going to be able to take the kids.
Rise of Skywalker as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, man, that's just crazy. Like, the whole industry is going to be upended. In that same vein, we're talking about different movies. Obviously, we have a little filmmaking background, both of us. But you were a little bit more, well, you studied it quite a bit more than me, I'd say, but also continue to study it. Wong Kar-wai, and what's the other Hong Kong director? Or what is the Hong Kong director?
Oh my God. John Woo?
Nope. That's not Wong Kar-wai, is it? Is it Wong Kar-wai?
Wong Kar-wai did Chungking Express.
Chungking Express.
That's him.
In the Mood for Love.
In the Mood for Love.
Okay. For some reason, I'm mixing him up with somebody else. Blueberry Nights.
He did. And I don't know. I don't think I want to watch that one.
Yeah, I don't either. Norah Jones is in it. And she's from Dallas, Texas. Because...
Is she?
Yeah, her... Yeah,
oh,
her,
that's right.
Her dad is Ravi Shankar. And Jackie's niece is a piano teacher who I've met a few times. She was Norah Jones' piano teacher. So, man, that's got to get you lots of classes right there.
Dallas is the...
The mecca for piano.
The small big town.
Small big town piano playing.
We all kind of know someone that knows someone.
Yeah, remember that Ricardo guy? By the way, that you met that lady that night when we were filming at the thing over here, the wine thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's long black hair. And then that Ricardo guy who was like the filmmaker from Mexico. Interesting guy. I'd like to remember he talked to us about movies he worked on in the 80s. I think 90s at least.
And that's how before then, man.
But I couldn't tell. Like, he obviously has money or comes from money. I don't understand if he was like financing these projects or whatever. Obviously, we need to pitch him. I'm not sure how. It probably needs to be a movie starring him, though. Which, of course, every movie needs to be a movie starring the person who's financing it, for sure. So, we stumbled across that show on Amazon Prime called Kidding. Is that it with Jim Carrey?
Well, it's a Showtime.
It's a Showtime show, but apparently you have until the month of March, at the end of this month, to stream it. It's a show that I've been wanting to watch for a while because Michel Gondry, who filmed one of my most favorite movies, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
That.
And The Science of Sleep.
Science of
you
Sleep.
You seen that one?
I don't know if I have.
It has.
Who's in that?
Gael Garcia in
isn't
it.
Isn't that?
Yeah, it's very. It's actually like basically a French movie.
Well, he's French.
But he's... You got a Mexican actor.
No, doesn't have a lot of, like, stop-motion animation or something in there?
It has a little bit of that. Some elements.
He does.
It's been years since I've seen
it. He's so artistic. And he didn't do Being John Malkovich. No, that's Spike Jones. What other thing
did
he do?
Well, look at his music videos.
His music videos. Yeah, that's where he got his start.
White Stripes.
Yeah, and he had, like, very creative and very... Very much art focus, right? And like live stop motion, but like large pieces. I don't know. He did a lot of interesting stuff. So he does the show Kidding, which has some technically interesting things to it, I think.
I think he started out as just kind of like
an
abstract artist or something like that, or animation.
Isn't it weird how like people like from a fashion background, like that one guy, Tom Ford.
Yeah.
Is now he's a director, you know? It's like, I mean...
You know, like Ang Lee... Didn't really have, like, a filmmaking background. He was just, like, a house husband for most of his early life.
Really?
Yeah, and it wasn't until, like, the late 30s. He was in his late 30s when he started making movies.
Well, how did he get into it? I usually, like, dig into Wikipedia.
I gotta look that up. But...
Well, I don't understand what... So he did Emma, right? In the 90s, he did, like, a Jane Austen movie was his first one. I think it was Emma. So, but I don't know how he goes from, like, shooting, like...
Which, they've just released another version.
Of course. Yeah. And again, no offense, his English is not super amazing. And he's working with a British period piece. That's, like, his first Western international movie. I wonder what he was doing in Taiwan. There's got to be some movie that we can see there. Or, I don't know, I thought he was Taiwanese-American now. I don't know, but whatever the case. That's another... Emma's always a classic, any Jane Austen movies.
He did The Incredible Hulk.
Yes, he did.
I liked it.
He did the Cowboy Gay movie, which is, you know, we like to get together once a year and watch that. What's it called?
Brokeback Mountain.
So many jokes. So many easy, cheesy jokes. I'm not going to lie. I feel bad even making one. Please forgive me. R.I.P. Heath Ledger.
R.I.P. Heath Ledger.
What other movies? You've seen like every new movie that came out, which actually means they're probably becoming... You saw 1917?
Yes.
What'd you say?
Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up. Out of 10, what did you give it? 7.5.
A good 8.
8. Solid 8. Okay. What's another one of the 20 movies I wanted to see that came out that I didn't see? That was like an Oscar movie.
We can kind of go further back. Yeah. The Lighthouse comes to my mind.
A Lighthouse. Black and white film with underrated. Daniel Radcliffe and Willem Dafoe.
Extremely underrated.
But it's like creepy looking, man. It's very creepy looking.
As you sit through the movie, things get crazy.
Isn't it like film noir too or something?
No,
just black and white.
No, it's black and white.
But I thought there were some weird animation type things happening in there.
Just see it. But it's a beautiful movie.
A very quick synopsis would be it's two people working at a lighthouse in the
1800s. Possibly. It's a movie set like in the late 1800s.
Okay.
And you got two guys stuck at a lighthouse.
Together. Okay.
Yeah.
Would you consider it like a horror film?
It has elements of just...
Interesting.
Of horror.
And Willem Dafoe is a scary looking dude. When he wants to be scary,
yeah.
That dude is scary looking, right?
And then if you see interviews of him, like, he's just such a sweet guy.
Yeah, he's like, his name is actually William. When he came to New York from Minnesota, he's like wanted to change it up and went with Willem. Which sounds like he's more Dutch, which he probably is. I don't know. I'm more into episodic TV. You seem to be more into movies.
Right.
My problem with movie, and this I know this is psychologically insane, it's a whole 2 hours. I can't sit there for a whole hour. You go to the theater often, because I know that's the cinema experience that you want to have.
Yes.
For me, I'm like, man, halfway through this, I'm going to have to go piss or something. Like, I don't know. Like, this is too long.
Which, who knows when I'll be back to the movies.
Now you're going to have to RAP movies.
Yeah. So,
but either way, like, some people... A show that's 22 minutes long, I'll sit there for 3 hours watching it.
Man.
Now, I run out of these shows quickly because, again, I like British, like, dark humor comedy.
Yeah.
And I like certain types of Michel Gondry and certain type of movies. So, and documentaries. So I really run out of stuff to watch, to be honest.
I think I'll just start watching Kidding.
Well, obviously, yeah. Yeah, and there's like 2 seasons of that, too. And you have until the end of March to watch it. So Jim Carrey's in it. What's her name? What's his name? Somebody else.
Catherine Keener.
We're gonna have to next week. We're gonna have you back on, and we're gonna do a quiz show based on movies. You and Joe are gonna be on here. That's a great idea, actually.
Ask him about.
Have to get like a couple more mics and stuff.
I could throw him off with a couple of questions, probably.
You think so? We'll have to see.
He's really into like, I don't know. He sees a lot of things, but you know, it's kind of like Sergio. Sergio's really good at 80s stuff.
Yeah.
Like
he has a
specific era.
Yeah.
And I think he's the guy to ask about any 80s TV show, 80s action flick. He's the guy.
What about Joe then?
Joe's good at a lot of things.
I feel like you and
But I think he likes a little bit of foreign films.
Well, that, but I also think you and me know kind of like specifics about production and kind of connect the dots.
Yeah.
With people, actors and actresses.
I look up at everybody's career.
Yeah, yeah. I like dig through all this stuff. I'm like, where did they get their start? How did this happen? So, yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. But that'll be next week, possibly, maybe. Well, thanks for being on. What's the name of your restaurant again?
La Acapulqueña.
And you're going to do maybe curbside pickup?
We're probably going to look at this new delivery service that Craig Spivey's trying to launch.
Or handing out food, or just having the taco place open, but no places to sit. In fact, that's better. Like, the time we talked about the coffee shop we went in today, we still have to go inside.
I know.
And then, like you said, maybe we'll use the restroom.
They said they're going to do curbside.
Yeah, but people will still be coming in. So that makes me think, like, should they be doing that? Because at least with your taco setup, it's like an exchange, and
that's it.
Like, walk away. But, man, you got to... If they're dealing with cash and stuff, you gotta think about that. Anyway, God bless everybody. Be safe out there.
Wash your hands.
Don't. No physical interaction with anyone. Sexual.
Damn.
Oral. Kissing.
Well, you don't gotta worry about that.
Yeah, I know. Finally, you make a joke at the end. Oh man.